Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Holy Innocents Martyrs, from Egypt to Galilee, the introduction of the Baptist and the coming one, and Jesus receives a sinner's baptism? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Huddersfield Choral Society with stanza one of the hymn Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. One line in that stanza, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Now, we think about blessing sometimes in a very trite way nowadays. We'll say, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Or if you're in the prosperity wing of Christianity, it's all about the blessings, isn't it? But what does it mean that God himself is called blessed? And what does it mean that from the very beginning of Scripture, even in creation, he is already blessing creation and man, and then that blessing becomes a promise and a promise to all nations? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series, The Words of Scripture, continues today. We're going to be talking about the word blessed in the Old Testament. Pastor Will Wheaton joins us. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. He hosts a 15-minute daily verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. It is a joy to be with you.
It's sad to say that this word is much abused in modern American evangelicalism, worldwide evangelicalism. A lot of promises of being blessed that have nothing to do with the Word of God. Can we say something as simple as, listen to the Word of the Lord Endures Forever and this Bible study, and you will be blessed by God's word?
Yeah, I mean, of course we can. But I do know the irritant. I mean, when I used to work across the river at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you know, you'd see people in the hall and you would ask them, so how you doing? And guess what? You know, like half the people would say,
I'm blessed.
And I mean, it became to me an irritant. It shouldn't have been, but it was. It was like, is that the same thing as, okay, is that what that's come to mean? You know, what do you mean by I'm blessed? Reminds me of, you know, Dave Ramsey's better than I deserve, you know, same sort of idea. But the word is actually really, really, really rich. And it is important to recognize that we have been blessed. And there's a Protestant hymn that says, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. That's actually really good counsel to stop and reflect on the blessed gifts that God has given you in life. We tend to live in a world that's full of grump, right? You know, we're really good about complaining about this, that, or the other thing that didn't turn out just quite the way we expected it. And the contrast in that is to sit back and look at the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, for which you can bless him and which you can then receive each one with thanksgiving. The key, I think, to having our lives flood with thanksgiving is to recognize that we are indeed a blessed people.
You wanted to start by making the explicit connection to the blessed one, the blessed Jesus, and you go to St. Peter for this.
Yeah. If we turn to Acts 3, we have the incident of the healing of the lame man in the temple. Remember, he was blessed. he was asking for alms, and Peter and John instead gave him healing in the name of Jesus. And you remember how Peter and John became the center of the crowd as the man was just leaping around, and everybody is like, whoa, 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 that's the guy that used to be lame. What gives? And Peter is like, what are y'all staring at us for? As though we, by our power or piety, made this man walk. It's not us. And then he begins by preaching Jesus to them and lays out very clearly the crucifixion, you know, just as it happened. Verse 17 of Acts 3. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days. Now listen to this. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, your offspring, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. There is this seed of Abraham that Paul proclaims, is this Jesus, the one that we are proclaiming to you, the one who suffered, died, has been raised from the dead. He is the blessed seed. He has come to bring blessing to all the families of the earth, and he sent him back to you first, you Jewish people, so that he could turn you from your wickedness and bless you. And so the very one who is the blessed one comes dishing out blessings. It's not an accident, you know, in St. Matthew's gospel, when he begins his teaching, what's the first word to come tumbling out of his mouth? Blessed, 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 blessed. We'll get to that next time. But for now, just note, Jesus is the blessed one who comes to bring blessing, and Peter defines that blessing as turning every one of us from our own wickedness.
So let's go back to Genesis, where already attended with the act of creation itself, God is blessing man.
Right. So the first thing to note there is that the first actor of blessing is actually God. God blesses man. So Genesis 1 and verse 22, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the sea and let the fowl multiply in the earth. So God blesses the creation itself, all right? And then, of course, Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, the man and the woman. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So when God creates man at the beginning, he creates him in a creation that is already blessed, and he himself receives a special blessing from God in that creation. He is going to have a special role in that creation. We saw that when we looked at priest and king, that role. Here's the great blessing that God is actually giving him, to offer the creation back to God. And maybe this is a point at which I didn't really get into this in a lot of the passages, but we should note this. It's the difference between a Jewish way of praying and a typical Western way of praying. So the typical Western way of praying is to assume that the creation is profane and that it needs to be consecrated. And so we go around blessing things, right? We ask somebody, you know, come, we say to the pastor, come bless our house. We say to Can we bless this Bible for use in the church? Can we bless? Well, we have all these rites of blessing in our agenda. The Jewish approach was very different, which recognized the creation itself is already blessed, and therefore, instead of us asking God's blessing upon it, we instead bless God for the creation. It said, blessed are you for the bread which you have given us. Blessed are you for this wine. Blessed are you for this home. Blessed are you for this wife that you've given me. I mean, so you bless God for the good gifts that he's already given. So there is going to be this reciprocal action back to God that's also called blessing. We're going to have to save that for an entirely different study. But at this time, we're really focusing on the blessing that comes from God through the creation to the creature, especially to humanity. But we'll see for humanity, God blesses other things. So he blessed the critters. And now also in Genesis 2, verse 3, he blesses a day. He blesses the seventh day. He sanctifies that day because on it he rested from the work, and he gives that day to man as a gift, so that man would have a day to sort of sit back in the creation and join in God's joy over all that he made, to sanctify that day by spending it in the creation as the gift of God.
So already at the very beginning here, we have God doing these, I think you have pointed out, these performative words. We debate whether or not be fruitful and multiply is a command or a blessing. It's actually both. It's both, but it does. Why do the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and we human beings continue to be
propagate
fruitful?
It happens because of that word, right? That word is performative for all time.
So this is why we have babies. This is why we fill the earth. This is why we have industry, civilization.
Right, right. It literally flows from the blessing hand of God. And when we see that, then, well, this is the thing that, of course, that in the fall, man became blinded to. He no longer perceived with any kind of clarity this unbelievable giving generosity, the loving hand of God that is at work in the gifts. And part of the salvation that Jesus comes to bring is that he opens the blind eyes to perceive again the gifts that are showering down from the heart of a Father who loves you. This is the amazing gift of God in Christ.
There's a word of summary a little bit later in Genesis chapter 5 that also mentions God's blessing.
It goes back here to the, and this is important because Genesis 5 is already after the fall, right? But this is important to note then, the blessing of God continues long after the fall. So Genesis 5, 2, male and female, he created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. So his blessing continues and runs on. And we're going to see God just keeps on doing this blessing thing. So at the end of the flood in Genesis 9, verse 1, God blesses Noah and his sons. And guess what he says to them? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Again, like you say, is it a command or is it a gift? And the answer is yes. It's a gift for them to replenish the whole earth. But everything drives, I believe, toward the use that appears in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. So this is when the story gets very particular. And here, instead of dealing with the whole race, we're going to deal with God's intent and purposes to take one family from all the families of man through whom he will achieve his purpose of bringing blessing to all the earth. And he's going to make that explicit as he works his way through the descent of these promises. But this is the first of the promises to Abram. And notice Paul's point that there's no law here. There's no, I mean, the Ten Commandments have not yet been given. The whole Mosaic law, not even circumcision is here yet. And God delivers the promise, and that gives priority to the promise itself. And the promise is one of blessing.
So you're referencing here, as we will in the New Testament, a reading that we had in the three-year lectionary just a couple of weeks ago, which was before anything had been done, God already spoke a promise, and that the descendants of Abraham are numbered according to the promise and not necessarily according to blood.
Right. Absolutely. So there'll be the children of promise. The promise is a promise of blessing.
We're talking with Pastor Will Wheadon about the word blessed in the Old Testament as part of our series on the words of Scripture. We will go into detail on that promise made to Abraham next.
Lutheran. It's not a label, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Church and State, Communion Fellowship, The Church Year, Baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Lamb of God Lutheran, Papillion, Nebraska. Mount Olive Lutheran, Madison, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran, Perrysburg, Ohio. St. Matthew Lutheran, Lamont, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Columbus, Ohio. And Christ the Shepherd Lutheran, Alpharetta, Georgia. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Holy Innocents Martyrs, from Egypt to Galilee, the introduction of the Baptist and the Coming One, and Jesus receives a sinner's baptism? Join me, Pastor Will Wheadon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org. and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the word blessed in the Old Testament. It's our series on the words of Scripture. Pastor Will Wheadon is our guest. He is host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. So, Will, before the break, you had mentioned this promise that is made to Abraham. Let's go into that promise in some detail.
Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord, that is Yahweh, had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee, he's talking to a man, remember, who is already old and fatherless at this point. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So God's blessing coming to Abraham would actually turn the man himself into a blessing. And then notice that the blessing words just keep on running on. I will bless them that bless thee. In other words, the people that stand there and say, blessed are you, O God, for the gift of this wonderful man, Abraham. And I will curse him that curseth thee. And here's the big promise. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thee, that is in the seed that is in Abraham's loins at this time, already the seed from which Messiah would come, will come this one who will actually bring God's blessing to bear on every family of the earth, none excluded. And it's not like he's done repeating this promise. He just keeps coming back to it again. And remember, Abraham had to endure a long time of waiting and waiting and waiting for the promise. He kept trying to help God out, and every time he tried to help God out, things got worse. And finally, though, the moment comes when Isaac is born, and he knows this is the child of promise. And then God tells him, okay, you need to go offer him up as a sacrifice on one of the mountains. I will show you. And, you know, mind-boggling. The book of Hebrews says that Abraham just knew, well, you know, if I sacrifice him, God's just going to have to raise the boy from the dead, because the promise was that through this Isaac, this blessing is going to descend. Well, he repeats the promise after Abraham is given a reprieve there, and the sacrifice of the ram caught in the thicket is made in place of Isaac. So Genesis 22, verse 18, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In other words, he obeyed his voice, ready to offer up his son. Think about this, the image of the beloved son being offered up. This is how the blessing is going to come to all the nations of the earth. Everyone is going to be blessed in the moment when God doesn't have his angel stop the sacrifice. When the sacrifice goes forward, the lamb that Abraham foretold would be provided. That's how the blessing will come to all the nations of the earth.
Then in Genesis 26, he's speaking again to Abraham. God likes to exaggerate, even though he's not exaggerating. I'm going to multiply your seed.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't even have a child yet, I think.
No, he has a child here.
He has the child. Yeah. Yes, that's right. I'm going to multiply your like stars and sand and all those things.
Yeah, I will multiply thy seed. Or I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, you know. Infinite, right? And will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Actually, I think this is the promise to Isaac. But, you know, it's just keeping on passing down. And he's saying, you know, I'm going to keep my promise to you. And so now Abraham dies without seeing this fulfilled, except that he has a son. Isaac is going to die without seeing this fulfilled. But the promise just keeps on passing down and passing down and passing down. And God never forgot the promise in all the centuries that took place. But you have to think about it, what it was like to be, when the Psalms say, wait for the Lord, they really mean wait, because his promise doesn't fail. But it can be very, very long from human perspective in its being fulfilled, when the fullness of the time finally comes. I mean, when Paul uses that phrase, you almost get the impression of about time, God, you know, finally it happens. So in Genesis 28, which is the story of Jacob and the vision, remember Jacob being part of the great ladder extending up to heaven, the ladder by which Messiah would walk down. The promise is given, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. It's like God doesn't want them to forget this. There's coming one in your seed who will bless all the families of the earth. And remember, Paul makes big hay out of seed here, not being a collective noun, but actually being quite literally the singular, the seed.
It's the incarnation. I mean, if you want to talk about how obvious it is to the patriarchs who received this promise, even from Adam and Eve, your seed, he's already saying, this is going to happen through an incarnation. I will do this through an incarnation.
Yeah. And, you know, you can even take it further. If you look at Luther's brilliant insight that he threw out in Babylonian Captivity, where he said, you know, from the beginning of time, whenever God promised that he would make a covenant or testament, he was literally promising that he would one day die. So, I mean, that God would become incarnate and die to deliver this promise that runs with testament, right? A testament comes into effect at death. So he sees that beautiful promise running all the way through the Old Testament, that the one that is going to come to bring blessing to all the families of the nations will do it by not getting a way out like Isaac had, but by going through death to make us be the heirs with him of everything that is his as the firstborn son of God.
In Deuteronomy 28, he speaks now to the people, I believe, and it's everything's getting blessed now.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about basically, this is the promise. The law has all kinds of promises that are worth looking at, and the law's promise basically is, hey, you will be blessed if you live according to what I told you to do, if you live in accordance with my word. Now, before, you know, people always want to say, yes, well, of course, we don't do that. And therefore, how can anybody claim these blessings? I need you to step back and just think about it for a moment, though. Things literally do go better for people in general in this life when in this life they conform themselves or attempt to conform themselves as best they can to God's commandments. And I believe, Todd, that works whether you are a Christian or not. If you know that this is what you are supposed to do and you do it, things tend, not exclusively, but they tend to go better in this life than if you ignore and flout God's command. I mean, if you simply say, I'm going to ignore what the Ten Commandments teach and I'm going to go do my own thing, I can promise you life is going to end up being not pleasant for you. This is the way that God made this world. It's not like God's like, you didn't obey me, so I'm going to smack you down on that. It's much more the case. This is how the world itself is constructed to operate. And when you kick against that, you are actually putting yourself in a position where the natural blessing that would flow from God is being hindered from coming to you. So Deuteronomy 28 picks up this whole idea of blessing. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. I mean, I love that picture. It's like blessings chasing after you and capturing you. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Oh, he just keeps on going on and on and on. And basically saying, blessing is going to be running after you and embracing your whole life when you give your heart and mind to attention to what God himself has commanded us to do. You know, I have a friend that at one time, he was actually maybe agnostic is the best way to put it, right? But he told his wife, I believe in the tithe and I think we need to do that, right? So their whole marriage, he insisted that 10% of the money should be given to the church's ministry. That's just the way it has to be. I believe that the tithe is a classic instance of something that's in the area of natural law. You notice it precedes the law itself, just like circumcision precedes the giving of the Mosaic law. The tithe is already there in Abraham and Melchizedek and in Jacob. You're going to see this idea that, hey, I need to give a return back to God of all these things he has blessed me with. And it just ends up being a huge blessing, as is absolutely true. You cannot give God. You know, you faithfully give back the tithe to him, he more than abundantly blesses you back. I think that's just like a natural law built into the world itself. I'm not saying that in the way of the prosperity preachers, I hope, but I am saying that I think it is just the way that things tend to operate in the world. You're not going to come up broke for having done what God told you to do.
It's our Words of Scripture series with Pastor Will Whedon today, Blessed in the Old Testament. Pastor Will Whedon is author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. These books are published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Next, we'll take up not the word of God here in Scripture regarding blessedness, but the word of Satan.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you are listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of Western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons, preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Wednesday, August the 5th, we're talking with Pastor Will Whedon in our series, The Words of Scripture. Today, the word is blessed in the Old Testament. The next instance of blessed here is not, strictly speaking, the words of God, but in fact, the words of Satan.
Let's think about Satan. Job 1 and verse 10. God's like, hey, you checked out my servant Job? And Satan's like, look, does he fear you for nothing? Listen to these words, 110. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So Job is one who knows himself to be blessed. And remember, after this, after the wager with God and Satan, and Job ends up losing everything, how does he respond? He blesses God, right? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, he does not sin with his mouth. So he's a classic instance of one who actually had been blessed by God and acknowledged the blessing of God upon his life. That's what the point of the sacrifices were for his kids, right? He constantly acknowledged that God had blessed him, and he received it as gift from the hand of the one who loved him. And then utterly befuddled when it seemed God had turned his enemy.
He also speaks these words, Job does, to his wife there at the beginning of the book, where he asks the rhetorical question, shall we receive from God what, blessing and not woe?
Yeah, I mean, he literally uses the word ra, evil. Should we receive tov, I mean, good? Should we receive good from the hand of God and not also receive the bad things? I mean, ra, evil there doesn't mean moral evil, it means the stuff that you hate in your life, the hardships, the pain, the toil, the trouble. His point is everything is coming to us from the hands of God, and we should receive it from the hands of God, everything that comes to us.
This brings us to a treasure trove of the word blessed, which is the Psalter. Where would you begin?
Well, we have to begin at the beginning. Yeah, right. Let's start at the very beginning. Psalm 1. Beatus vir is the name of the psalm in Latin, the blessed man. So someone, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, when we read scripture, always we have this, I mean, part of our curvatus inse, the curve in on oneself, is we always say, so how does this apply to me? You know, how does this apply to me? We need to learn to read scripture and ask, how does this apply to Christ? Because this passage is first and foremost about the blessed man. It is about Jesus. I think that's why in some of the modern versions, in their desire to move away from what they think of as gender-specific language, they pluralize this. So you get, you know, blessed are those who. It's like, no, that's not what it says. It's blessed is the man. Because there is a man who did not walk in the counsel of the wicked, of the ungodly. He did not stand in the way of sinners, and he did not sit himself in the seat of the scornful. He actually had his entire delight in the law of the Lord, thinking about it night and day, so that when he's tempted by the devil, he knows right away. I mean, he pulls out the scriptures and hurls them right back at him. And this one, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water and brings forth his fruit in his season. Think about it. It is on a tree that he will bring forth his fruit, and his fruit will be everlasting life that he will bring forth for us. And his leaf does not wither. He has a life that does not end. Whatever he does will indeed prosper, because it's coming from the one who literally lives from the promises of God himself.
We go from that first psalm, which is the whole Psalter. It tells you right there, this is how you should read these hymns.
Yes.
It's this man that we're going to be talking about, to why do the heathens rage in Psalm 2, and then this very obscure line about kissing the sun lest he be angry.
Yeah, lama raga shugoyim. I mean, I love that from the Chichester Psalms, Psalm 2. So Psalm 2:12, at the very end, you get this, kiss the sun lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So here we need to see that there is this son. You do not want him angry at you, right? And yet he is the one in whom you need to put your trust. Because if you do, if you place your trust in him, you will indeed be blessed. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So in the Son, this is the place where you need to make your place of refuge.
At Psalm 21, what do we find there in terms of this blessedness?
Okay, so this is a long messianic psalm, another one of these psalms that is very specific about the king. And it can't be David, right? David is the speaker of the psalm, but as you hear it, you realize, this doesn't fit David. Who does this fit? So verse 1, the king shall joy in thy strength, O God, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him, you go before him, with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. That tells you it's not David, right? David died. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him, get this, thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. So Jesus the one who fulfills this prophecy of David. He is one who is the most blessed forever. The blessing that was promised to Abraham and him, yes, but he himself has the experience of the blessing of God in a way that is superlative to anything that any other human being could ever begin to hope or experience.
In Psalm 32, it is almost a bookend to Psalm 1, because now we're talking about this man whose sins are forgiven.
Yeah, yeah. So if Psalm 1 is about Jesus, Psalm 32 is clearly about us. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So the psalm proclaims the person to be blessed who has sin covered, transgression forgiven, sin covered, the person to whom God does not charge their iniquity, their guilt. This is what it is to be blessed of the Lord. So we see that here, we saw that the person who trusts in this Son is blessed. And here we see that what we trust the Son to do is to literally cover our sins, which he does with his blood. And that's how it happens that his Father does not impute to us our iniquity. In fact, our sins are charged to him. His righteousness is what will be charged to us.
In Psalm 33, the very next one also has a mention of a blessing, but this is on a people.
On a people. It's heartbreaking for us to think about, but it's a beautiful promise of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh, is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, obviously, in its first context, that means Israel. But across the centuries, there have been all these people that have adopted the God of Israel and believed the promise of Christ, that in him, blessing should come to them too. And those nations turning to God the Lord sought to conform their joint life together to his wisdom and will. And where that happens, you have a people who are indeed blessed. They experience blessing. And when you find a nation that's going through, well, some of what our nation is going through at the time, you have to just stop and ask, how far have we departed from what the God of Israel has actually commanded and promised? And sadly, we've departed a long way away.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's our series, The Words of Scripture. We're talking about the word blessed in the Old Testament. We'll take up the words, O taste and see that the Lord is good, in the next psalm after this. Church and state, communion fellowship, the church year, baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM. Or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
It's our Words of Scripture series with Pastor Will Whedon. We're talking about the word blessed in the Old Testament. Pastor Whedon hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Those are the starting words of our next psalm, Will.
Psalm 34. This uses that same Macarius word in the Septuagint, the blessed word, or Asher in the Hebrew. The same as we get the tribe Asher, right? Blessed, that means blessed. So, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. How many times have we got to hear this from the Psalms? That if you want the blessing of God to rest upon you, it comes upon you by trusting in Yahweh. That's where the blessing comes from. So you get to taste and see his goodness. You experience, that means experience this. Experience that the Lord himself is good. And then you will also know the blessing. And if you know he's good, then you can trust in him. And whatever he's sending your life, you can step back and say, okay, this comes to me from the hand of the good God. Remember how we sing this in our hymnal? In God, my faithful God, I trust when dark my road. Great woes may overtake me, but he will not forsake me. His hand it is to send them, and when he pleases, will end them.
In Psalm 37, it's almost a repeat of that, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion.
Yeah. It is a great psalm, and it's a psalm that exhorts to patience. You remember, Jesus basically quotes this psalm in the Beatitudes about the meek inheriting the earth, and he encourages in this psalm, wait for the Lord and trust in him. You do not need to act to secure God's blessing. Do you remember when David had guarded Nabal's servants out in the field, and Nabal basically just, wrote David off and insulted him and sent his messengers back? He wasn't going to give him any food or anything to take care of them. And David was really mad, and he got his army together. He was ready to march up the mountain. And remember, Abigail comes down the mountain, and she allays his wrath, and she stresses how important it is that he not raise his hand against his enemies. Let the Lord be the one who will strike his enemies. And David, after, God does then strike Nabal down, David is like, praise be to God that, you kept me from hurting him. You kept me from bringing blood guilt on myself. I learned to trust in this God who actually will indeed take care of my cause. For such as be blessed, Psalm 37, verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. They that be cursed of him shall be cut off. And a few verses later, in describing the nature of the man that has been so blessed, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Describing what it is to live as a people who wait for the Lord to act instead of having to avenge themselves, knowing there's somebody on the throne of the universe. It's not me. And I can trust him. And I can receive what comes into my life as a gift from him. Whatever it is, even the hard stuff. And I merely trust that what he says is always right and that he brings me his blessing.
Psalm 40 is an explicit tie of blessing to faith. Talk about that.
Right. So Psalm 40 verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Lies there meaning especially the idols. So the one who actually puts his trust in Yahweh, that is the one who is blessed. Do you remember when Dr. Luther in the Large Catechism, or the Small Catechism rather, expounds the first commandment? He asks, so what is it to have a God? And you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should, or we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That is the path to blessedness. And trusting God is tied directly to both fearing him and loving him. If you believe, if you trust that he means his threats, then you fear him. If you trust that he means his promises, then you love him for the grace that he's shown you. And so they both find both fear and love find their union in trust. And this trust is what makes a person be truly blessed in the Lord.
The picture of the blessed in Psalm 41, the next one, is about how the man who trusts in the Lord deals with his neighbor.
Right. Because the one who trusts in the Lord then doesn't have to look out for himself. He is able to always be looking also for his neighbor's need. So verse 1 of Psalm 41 and verse 2, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. Thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. So again, the one who trusts in Yahweh is going to be the person who is able to see the needs of his neighbor and to actually experience this blessing that comes from getting in on God's joy and giving. Remember how Paul will put that to the Corinthians, you know, God loves a hilarious giver. I mean, God has such a delight in giving gifts that when we get in on the action with him, he's like, I told you it was wonderful, right? You know, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is the joy that the blessed man who trusts in the Lord gets to share, because he then will pour out his gifts also to those who don't have as many earthly gifts.
To whom is Psalm 45 speaking?
Another one of the great messianic psalms. This is a description of Christ. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured upon thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. This is the eulogason word rather than the makarios word in the Greek, in the Septuagint. But the idea is the same thing here. Jesus is the one who is the most blessed. He has come to bring blessing, and he is the one whom Yahweh has blessed most of all.
The next psalm that you cite here with regard to blessing, Psalm 65, ties blessing to the presence of God in his holy temple.
Yeah, it's a worship psalm. So Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. In other words, to be in the house of God, receiving the gifts that Christ puts there for you, is to know yourself to be blessed indeed. Obviously, David speaking in the Old Testament context, thinking of the temple, but you know how that applies to the assembly where Christians now gather, and we receive the sacrifice that was offered upon Calvary and is now distributed to us in the Eucharist. And we are able to sing and worship and praise God together and bring to him all the sorrows of our hearts and the sorrows of the world. And this is one of the most blessed things that can ever be. You have only to think about what it was like when you were shut out from the house of God for all those horrible months in COVID to realize, oh, this is a blessing indeed, to be in the house of God together.
Who is being called blessed in Psalm 72?
Psalm 72 is another one of those purely messianic psalms, powerful description of the king that cannot apply to David or to Solomon. It has to reach its fulfillment in Christ. So Psalm 72, verse 17, his name, that's Christ's name, shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. So you have both directions going on there. In Jesus, all the nations of the earth get blessed, and because of the blessing they receive from Jesus's hand, they in turn, all nations, call him the blessed one. He is the one who came from Abraham to bring us blessing.
There are several instances of this blessedness in Psalm 84, I believe.
Yeah. So this is very much of akin to Psalm 65. It's the blessedness of the house of God. So Psalm 84, verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them, or the highways to Zion is another way to sort of translate that. So the picture of the people who literally have their heart in the house of God, that's where they want to be. They dwell in God's house, and there they praise him. That is, they bless him for all the blessings he has given them.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We'll talk about Psalm 89 and the light of God's countenance as we look at the word blessed in the Old Testament in our series, The Words of Scripture.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Holy Innocents Martyrs, from Egypt to Galilee, the introduction of the Baptist and the coming one, and Jesus receives a sinner's baptism? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org. and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Here's a new way for you to win the LPR bundle package. Submit a time cue with the show number for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. If your selection wins Soundbite of the Week, we'll send you an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. tote bag, notepad, pen, and bumper sticker. Just send your submission for Soundbite of the Week with a time cue and show number to talkback@issuesetc.org, and you could win the LPR bundle package. Talkback@issuesetc.org.
Sanctifying your vocations with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the word blessed in the Old Testament in our series on the words of Scripture. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He hosts a 15-minute daily verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can listen to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org, on the LPR mobile app, and on your favorite podcast provider. Pastor Wheaton is currently leading a study on the Gospel of Matthew. He's completed studies on the Gospel of John and Hebrews. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. Well, in Psalm 89, it turns our attention to the fact that part of this blessing is that God is looking favorably upon us for Christ's sake in the light of thy countenance.
Yeah, Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that first know the joyful shout or the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And of course, light of thy countenance means under your smile, right? Under your favor. God looks upon them favorably. And I think that's the heart of the joyful sound. They know the joyful sound of God looking at them and saying, you are my beloved child, and you, I am well pleased. And because of that, they are a blessed people indeed.
So how can the discipline of the Lord be regarded as a blessing as it is in Psalm 94.
94. This is one of the most challenging passages, but it is so important that we hear it. Think about Job, right? Psalm 94, verse 12 and 13. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. So there is chastening that comes from the hand of God, and God gives it into our lives to literally save us from falling into the pit that's digged for the wicked. He gives it to us to save our souls. And so the difficult times that come to us are actually times where, as Martin Luther would say, we should kiss the Father's rod. You know, the rod that he's using to chasten us, we kiss it and thank him that he actually is saving us through this very time. If you ask, how does that work? Well, years and years ago, Todd, there was a song that I bet you knew how to sing, right? Andre Crouch's Through It All. You remember? Well, he actually nails it there, doesn't he? Through it all. And I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had trials for them. I can't remember the exact words. But I mean, he comes to the point where he confesses, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through all the troubles that came into his life, he was able to look back and go, hey, that's what you used to teach me to trust in you. Whoa, the chastening actually brought me to you. That's great. So he gives us these things we cannot handle that we might find ourselves turning to him, finding relief from him.
What do we have in Psalm 112?
Same kind of idea that we heard earlier. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. This is a great family psalm, and its point is, if you are the kind of person who fears the Lord, that means who cares about what the Lord commands and who cares about the promises that he gives, and you delight then in his commandments. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know what your God wants you to do and not to do? The gift of the commandments seen that way. His promises, your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Those who are trained, if you will, in the way of the Lord, they are going to be blessed. When you bring your children up in the ways of the Ten Commandments, Todd, you've equipped them for life in this world. And when you teach them above all that for our failures to keep the Ten Commandments, we have the Blessed One and his forgiveness, not imputing our sin to us, then they are really prepared for eternity as well as time.
So we have in Psalm 115 a continuation of that.
Same kind of theme. Yeah. Starting at verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. In other words, if you're important or if you're not important to the world, it doesn't matter. God promises blessing upon those who actually fear him, who consider his commands, and who trust in his mercy. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
We're back to the house of the Lord in Psalm 118.
Yeah, this is so important because this one ties to our liturgy and it ties to the events of Palm Sunday. You remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem to be the sacrifice, coming into his holy city. And I mean, I can't get out of my head the idea of what it would have been like to be in the Roman garrison, watching that crowd coming into the town with this man at the center of it. And what a relief it was when he turned He didn't storm this, you know, the Praetorium. He turned to the temple, and they all went with him to the temple because, of course, he came to be the sacrifice, and he proceeds to clear out all the sacrifices that are there until he's the only one left. And what are the people crying to him as he comes in? They're crying out, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they indeed, "We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." He, you know, it's fulfilled in Jesus. And we still sing this when we sing Sanctus as he's coming, the same one, coming to bless us. We sing, "Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." He's coming from the Lord to bring blessing to us.
Psalm 119 sometimes gets a bad rap among Lutherans. It never should, but it does. But it begins with the blessings of God.
Yeah, I mean, it literally starts the same way the Psalter itself starts, with this blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. So the blessed are those, again, who are living their lives, seeking to live their lives in conformity with God's commandments and trusting in his mercy. That's his testimonies, right? That he pardons their guilt and will provide the sacrifice of atonement in Christ. And so they seek him with their whole heart. They really want to live his ways. And the plural here is definitely pointing us toward then not just Christ himself as the blessed one, but those who are in his company, those who then seek with him to do the will of God, trusting his mercy to cover their failures, but also conforming their lives to his word.
One more instance from the psalm. What is it?
Yeah, Psalm 128, another beautiful one, a song of the degrees. So a song that you sing as you come up to Jerusalem to receive the blessing of the Lord. It begins, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine in the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants around thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." So we've seen trust and fear run in tandem here throughout the entire Psalter, right? The one who fears the Lord, that is, who respects his commandments and seeks to live according to them and begs God's mercy from the times that he fails to live according to them. And that person, he says, is then one who is blessed, who takes refuge in the Lord and in his mercy.
There are two other spots in the Old Testament that you wanted to visit before we conclude the Old Testament portion of this blessed word.
And there are so many other places we could have looked. I mean, so I wanted to spend more time in the Psalter to run through and see both the Jesus as the one blessed one and the church as the people who are blessed in him. But we also need to pick up Isaiah 65, verse 23. "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them." He's talking about how the people in the time of Messiah will not be actually, you know, the curse of the fall, where everything ends up being for naught, you know, and nothing but trouble. He's like, that's not how it's going to be in the time of Messiah, but rather you will have a return for your labor because you are the seed of the blessed. You're the seed of He has begotten you again to a lively hope by the living word of God, that the seed that he has planted within you, right? That's the seed of the word, which Christ plants into us. And when we are able to give that to our children, we've given them the greatest gift of all. And finally, just underlining the same message you've heard throughout the Psalter, Jeremiah 17, verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." It's a great verse from Jeremiah to memorize and hold in your heart. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord.
How would you summarize what we've seen here in Genesis and Deuteronomy, in the Psalms, so much in the Psalms, and then here in these last two Old Testament prophets about this word blessed in the Old Testament?
God is not out to destroy and make your life miserable. God wants at the core of his being for you to be blessed in him. And that does not mean the same thing as you always being happy. It does mean he wants you
to receive from him all the good things he has for you. And the good things he has for you are all wrapped up in Jesus, and they are more good things than you could possibly experience in this life. It will fill all of eternity, you experiencing and enjoying those good things. God is the God of blessing, and Jesus is the Blessed One come down to earth to bring you into the full blessing of God.
Give us a little preview of what we will be talking about next time when we get into the fulfillment of all these promised blessings in the New Testament.
Well, we're going to have to start really with the Beatitudes, because that's where Jesus, when he begins his teaching, he begins with this word. I mean, Matthew does give you, before he gets to the Beatitudes, you get the, you know, that he preaches, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, same as John the Baptist did. But once Jesus really pulls his disciples to him and sits down to begin teaching in earnest, he opens his mouth in blessing, and he pronounces these, you know, the Beatitudes upon his disciples. And I think we need to be able to, can I put it this way? We'll do a law gospel on them. You need to hear them both ways. And finally, as gospel, you will see they are a description of who Jesus is, and therefore what it is for you to live in communion with him. You're going to see blessedness comes to you as byproduct of you hanging with the Blessed One, Jesus Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Roy Askins of the Lutheran Witness magazine about anxiety and necessity, and we'll have Pastor Paul McCain respond to your questions and comments on the Lutheran Confessions. Post them at facebook.com/issuesetc or send an email to talkback@issuesetc.org. You could win Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at BethanyLCMS.org.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Every knee will bow then. Every tongue will confess the things you already say and sing here in his congregation.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
And peace will be as it is even this day upon you, the Israel of God. Amen.